Just give the average Joe an insight of what's it like playing at this level.
Friday night's always been a personal favourite of mine. You've got the long weekend. Everyone's just wanting that release, that stimulation, just to watch a macabre sport of gladiatorial confrontation. And you feed off that as athletes. Like, you love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it.
G'day, good evening, good morning. It is Dropped Kickoff once again. We are the podcast striving for a world of rugby mediocrity in a world of excellent rugby podcasts. The slow infiltration of Rugby Australia and the Raw by Gagger is on its way. You heard it here first. I am joined by Nathan Williamson. It's just the two of us this week. We may be working in the rugby sphere and making this our full-time job, but Gagger till we die. That's how it is.
Absolutely. Okay, there's nothing, after, several days non-stop writing about rugby, there's nothing more I'd rather do than come on and talk rugby. It's great. Like,
I know.
This is why we do it.
This is where we let loose. I think
this is like the sort of after dark sort of both sides where you just go, all right, well, what do we actually think?
Yeah, we've done 12 hours of writing for the day. We've done uncharacteristically late night hours. Last night I was writing, so I think I've done we were just talking about this in the pre-chat, but I think I was kind of going, oh, yeah, this is the baptism by fire for me. I think I've done like 25 pre-season articles on the Raw. Go check them out, everyone. I'm sorry it's not on Gagger. I'm sorry. I'm sorry about that. We'll work on it. We'll get there. At least the podcast is here. And I think last night I completed the season preview for the Waratahs, which was grim writing.
We'll get into that later.
But yeah, it does hit you now. We start off with our left field question, a good way to start it. And of course, there's a documentary that is dropping this time. By the time you're listening to this, it'll actually be out in the world. We're recording this on Wednesday night. But tomorrow morning, the Wallabies at the World Cup drops on Stan. You've seen it, haven't you, Nathan?
Yeah, I've seen it. I'm proud to say one of my questions made it in, so thank you very much.
Oh, fuck yes. He makes an appearance.
It is Eddie Jones essentially taking the piss out of me, but you know what? I don't care. I'm in a documentary, so suck on that, Haley.
Yeah, I know. Well, you're in the trailer as well. For context, everyone, Nathan is famous. He's in the trailer at the airport where he's like standing right next to Eddie when he's going apeshit at the at the worst press conference ever.
Watch my you see about five or six emotions hit my face in the 30 seconds that they show in the documentary. It's a cathartic experience watching that back, but so a lot of fun.
Do we like it? Is it aimed just for a small context? I have not seen it, but other folks at the Raw have seen it. Do we consider it one for the fans? Do we consider it? Does it dive deep enough? Do we consider it, or is it kind of aimed at a fan who might not be as familiar with the Wallabies and the whole story?
I think it's the latter. I think it's more to you, sort of general sport fan. I think a lot of rugby fans, and like I'll be honest, the first episode, it's not that it's, the nature of what was in the documentary, but kind of when you're preparing yourself for what's to come, it was a tough watch. Like, it's a tough year. Like, and you kind of go through that documentary realizing how many things just went wrong. And, it's probably not going to get, everything that happened naturally. Like, there are certain players and missing that you kind of feel like their voice probably should have been heard a bit more, but hindsight's a wonderful thing. Like, rugby fans will enjoy it, I think, but like, the general sport fan that was sort of saw what happened to the Wallabies and went, hang on a minute, how the hell does that happen? I think they'll get the most out of this doco. It's great. I absolutely recommend it to watch. Only three episodes, about an hour each. You can, I trade as a cathartic experience before sort of getting back into Super Rugby. And I would recommend fans still watching it.
Oh, yeah. It was funny. We were chatting, like, I was doing production work for the other show that I do over the Raw Rugby podcast. And we had Nick White on earlier this week, and Matt Tamua basically said to him, what was it like? Were there moments where you were like, can these fucking cameras get out of here? Like, why did, like, like, it sounded so good when it was sold, when it was sold to us that we're going to be able to like have a crew follow us around. But as the wheels came off, did you have moments where you're like, can you guys get out of here, please? We don't want you to film all of this shit going sideways. And Whitey was basically like, yeah, pretty much. It was downhill since then. But, you know, apparently Eddie had a say in what was allowed to go out, which I also find very interesting.
Yeah, there's certain moments where he again, doesn't come off well, but again, in a year like that, again, there was probably stuff that cut that would probably made him even worse, if he's had to say. But again, who knows? That's only for the editors and the sort of camera people to know.
And the players. I would love to see a director's cut of the shit that didn't make it. I would love to see a director's cut.
Michael Hooper cut.
The Michael Hooper cut. but the question, left field topic to kick us off that you and I will kick around is, what team would make the funniest or most entertaining documentary? So could be the Wallabies, could be any team, but if you could watch a documentary about a particular team or an event involving a particular team, what would it be, Nathan?
It's a multi-year sort of doco I sort of have in mind, titled Three Amigos. I would love to see, if you could have the footage of Quaid, James O'Connor, Kirtley Beale at their best, and we're talking 2011 to 2013, so you get Quaid's Reds Super Rugby title, you get all the sort of James O'Connor and Kirtley Beale just roller coaster at the Rebels, you just get the incredible highs and lows that those guys go through. Mate, who's not going to watch that? It'd be amazing. Can you imagine if you had some of the cameras in, like, you know, that 4 a.m. at Macca's when, was it Curly, I think, got caught at the Macca's at 4 a.m.?
No, wasn't it James O'Connor? I think that was James O'Connor who got in trouble at Macca's at 4 a.m.
You know what? I think you're right. It might have been James O'Connor. But
sounds like James. I think it was James O'Connor.
It's amazing.
Yeah, that would be interesting. But also, like, you'd also delve into some of the other stuff around Link and what happened in the later stage of that time, which obviously is still, to this day, even though it finished years ago, probably quite contentious. There'd be some stuff to dig through.
It'd be great.
It would be good. It would be good. I am going to also keep it to the Wallabies. I know it's just pretty boring, and I feel like we should also offer a non-Australian version. I would like a documentary following Wally the Wallaby. So the little mascot that is the youngest person in every team is tasked with looking after whenever they go on tour. I want to know where that poor Wallaby ends up. I just want to know. I want to know the shit that he's seen.
Oh my goodness!
I want to know the shit that Wally the Wallaby has seen, the places he has been, the things he has been procured to. If there's a black light needed, I will put to be put on the Wallaby. I need to. I wouldn't mind that as well. What happens on tour stays on tour, except when a Wallaby sees it.
That's being saying some things.
Yeah, and also, I mean, you could also expand it. I mean, the Wallaroos also have a Wallaby that they have on tour, I'm assuming. Like, all of them do.
Likewise, Sevens do as well.
Yeah, so you could do it like a series. What have, like, the Wallaby, all of the little Wally the Wallabies could meet together for a recovery session, and then we recount all of the shit that they've seen on tour in a particular year.
Oh, God, that's some proper after dark hours there. So.
What shit would come to light? It would be delicious. But no, aside from that, like, outside of Wallabies, I would also really love a documentary about, like, the rise of a really prominent, like, emerging rugby nation, like Chile or Georgia, and the whole, because there's all the rhetoric around them beating, you know, tier one or first tier nations. You could do a whole doco around their growth and the entire process that they've done as a team. I reckon you'd find so much interesting stuff there, particularly in Georgia, because there's also a sport in that country which is, like, eerily similar to rugby. It's like a local sport where, like, a group of people get together and effectively, I don't know what it's called, the name escapes me, but you effectively beat the shit out of each other. I'm going to Google it right now.
That's pretty much rugby.
Yeah. what's the sport called?
While you look at that, The natural answer would have been 2015 Japan, the sort of the Brighton, the miracle in Brighton, but I believe that's already out. I haven't watched it, but I've had the series that is great. I would, in a similar vein, I'd love to do Portugal this year. Imagine just the sort of the rise and rise to get that sort of win against Fiji and you get the celebrations afterwards and like, oh my goodness, the sort of some of the stories that you can see and just those guys who, you know, a lot of them would be, you know, either starting their journey or, you know, coming from amateur and semi-professional backgrounds and all of a sudden to have that kind of culminating moment in a World Cup win and what it meant, like the story would be unbelievable.
Yeah, that's a good one. I like that. And the answer is Lilo or Lilo Berti. I'm hoping I'm pronouncing that correctly. If there are any Georgian listeners, please correct us on it. But it's a Georgian folk sport, which is basically a full-on contact ball game. And it's basically, and apparently the word Lilo is used to mean a try. And that's the reason why rugby union has caught on as well as it has in Georgia. So there you go. I'd love that. And I know there is actually, I think there is a documentary or there is places, there is news pieces out there about Lilo the sport, but I just want to know about the rise of Georgian rugby. So that would be my other pick. All right, then. It is time once again for the segment that proved surprisingly popular in our first episode back a few weeks ago. Again, sorry for the delay in it coming back, but Nathan and I have been writing a lot of shit. It's been a busy time. Preseason sucks. But it is time for Nathan's News Roundup. After last time, where you literally breezed through all of the news of like the off-season in 90 seconds, I'm going to narrow your time down to 45 seconds. Oh, you have 45 seconds. Do you have your news pieces ready?
Okay, this is all going to be teamless focus. Let's see how many puns I can get in the 45 minutes. Let's go.
Let's go. Okay, already. All right, your time starts now.
All right, we start in Melbourne. Where's the Rebels take on the Brumbies? Matt giving a win before midnight. Starts in the front row along Sam Talakai's and that. Out of streamline, their efforts at Amy Park. You've got box office speed in the wing with Mr. Anderson on one wing and Glenn by Hugh Jackman on the other. Taniello Tupou the Panda adding some kick off the bench will have some serious troubles dealing with some of the Brumbies front rowers. You've got Noss Lonigan adding some gas up front. Well, you got Rob, will you be my Valentine, starting at number six. Luke, Jeremy Ramos starts at flanker, saving Private Ryan. Lonigan skips the side. Here we head to the west as Marley and Mir Pierce fills in for the thinking Dr. Tom Robinson at loosehead prop. As, hey, look, it's a Namek Cub and Isaac Rutter comes in the second row, along with Tom Franklin, the turtle. Wait, I'm hearing Rutter has done his quad and the rod itself is actually going to make a debut. Then Baron Donaldson starts at fly half. Son of Donald, get it? Not really, no. With Harry Potter seeking tries in the wing.
The Reds
will go return of the Mac in the wing alongside Jordan Patai. Hooked on a feeling. John Cena, Kobe Bryant on the bench, along with Cole McIlmore Daly for the Reds, as 1,000 miles of Matasera adds some size on the bench. Coleman Charlie gambles with his lineup with Fergus Lee Warner Brothers coming in for his debut. Well, I'm seeing double for Harry Wilson's, as bench Harry Wilson goes after starter Harry Wilson. Oh, and there's 7 Kiwis and Fijian sides named as well. Time.
Oh, dang. Well done. You literally just close in on 90 seconds. Okay, we have our sweet spot. 90 seconds is the sweet spot that Nathan is allowed in future episodes.
All right. Wait, how many did I have last time? Look, like I had more jokes this time, but like I think it was just the overreaction.
The overreaction? I don't know. I think it was like, what, you mean how many news pieces did you have to cover or how many like puns?
No, but how many seconds did I last time?
You literally were 90 seconds last time. You had 30 seconds left. I gave you 2 minutes and then you like breezed through it so quickly. But I was like, well, shit, that's way too much time. So 45 seconds was too short. We now need to get you down to a sweet 1 minute and see how you go from there, just for a bit more fun. But hey, look, your pun is getting better. Your pun game is improving. I will say that.
I mean, anyone.
How old are we again?
I was gonna say any man, any person that's sort of listened, but was reading the old school Gaga knows this is down my alley. Like alley, this is what I used to do sort of for fun. So. To get this sort of part of my brain sort of kicking back, it's actually quite fun. It's quite sort of, I don't know, it's quite peaceful, actually. It's quite a nice little sort of escape from all the sort of other rugby noise that goes on.
Tell us about how peaceful this makes. Do you go like to like a nice, calm rugby field with like calming music in the background. But instead of the calming music like you have for meditation, you just hear rugby puns.
That's it. You're just kind of just going through the shit like movie puns you can try and make. And it's like, how there's so many sort of that's still to be said. That's just like, which ones do I use now? Which ones do I save? Like, it's just, it centers me. Right.
And then suddenly, like Hartman will come in the corner, being like, "Cut the cheese, move them to Western Sydney," and then all of a sudden you snap out of it and go, "Fuck!"
I'm ready to psycho page yourself.
Gambridge.
So. Nathan, it is indeed, like all this talk of preseason is done and dusted. And now we are here in the week of the first round of Super Rugby Pacific. And I think now is as good a time as any to talk previews for particular games. But also we can touch a little bit on how we think the teams are going to go in general this year. Because I will say that there is a lot of promise, but we say that with incredibly, increasingly cautious optimism with every single year because... It always feels like the same script over and over again. And how many times have we said, fool me once? It's shame on you. But what level are we up to now? It is the reality. It is the truth.
I mean, we're what, season 5 of this podcast? So four times already.
Yeah. 4 seasons ago. That's where we're rolling in right now. So we'll kick off. We'll go into by game for this opening weekend. But when an Australian side comes up, we'll touch on them a little bit more and talk about what we actually think, how we think they're going to go this season and such, and talk just what we think, who are the key figures that will stand out, what's in their way, things like that. And I think the best way for us to go about it is to the ever-reliant, ever-fantastic Super Rugby Tipping. If you guys don't know, on the social media for Super Rugby Pacific, they do tipping every round, and I have found the numbers for this place unbelievably questionable every single time. I feel like it's just a peewees that are voting every single week, and I don't even know where you can vote for this. So if you guys know where you can vote to get more Aussies in there, please help me out here.
Tipping.super.
Do you know where it is?
Tipping.super.rugby.
They never tell you where it is on the socials.
We need to get to a point, like, it's definitely been infiltrated by Kiwis. We need to get to a point where, like, we need to get enough of a community that we're absolutely just trolling the living daylights out of them. Like, Moana Pacifica, we need them to be like an 85% chance to beat the Chiefs. Or
Yes.
The Fijian draw 94% to beat Crusaders. Like, something, we just got to, like, let's just have fun with this. Come on.
Yes, let's mess with it because some of these numbers are ridiculous. We'll start off, the first match that is back is the Chiefs versus the Crusaders, rematch of the grand final, played in Hamilton, which is also honestly a great way to start the tournament. But the Chiefs are currently sitting at 73% to win versus the Crusaders 27%. That feels wrong, considering how close all of these games have been. Do you disagree?
I do, to be honest. I think, like, Crusaders, a full-strength Crusaders side, even would struggle to sort of back up what they did last year. Yes, they've added Levi Amua, Ryan Crotty's come back from Japan, but the fact that Richie Mwanga and Sam Whitelock left is huge. You then consider the news of this week that Will Jordan's out for basically the entire season. Lee Halfpenny also out for sort of 3 to 4 months.
Ethan Blackadder. Yeah.
That's a lot of talent to be gone already in a team that is transitioning into the sort of Penny era. I think they struggle this year. I like struggle for Crusaders standards. I'm not going to suggest, oh, will they make the 8 or not? Oh, I don't know. Like, they make the 8 comfortably, but I don't think they make the top 4. I reckon they'll probably be.
Really?
I reckon they'll go for that 4th to 6th spot, I reckon.
Wow. I still think they're going to finish in second just because Crusaders do what Crusaders do. Also, I think they have a pretty favourable draw at a later point in the season. So right now, I think they have a couple of hard games right off the bat. And the Chiefs is definitely one. I would be putting this around 60-40, to be honest, not 70-20 or 73-27. I mean, I think Chiefs are my favourite. I've written it down. I reckon Chiefs are favourite to win the comp this year, considering even though they have lost a lot of good talent up there, I mean, don't need to get started than the likes of Sam Kane and some of the more experienced All Black heads that are in there. But when you've got someone like Samusoni Takeholo, I hope I've pronounced that correctly, and D-Mac.
Yeah, that's the one.
Coach, yeah. And plus on top of that, Clayton McMillan, he's done really well in his time as the coach. He's actually statistically the most successful coach for the Chiefs. Still hasn't won a trophy. Like, he's better than Dave Rennie. Still hasn't won a comp. Yeah. So I have them as favourites, and I would pick them to win this game, but not with a 73% margin. That's questionable.
Yeah, it's one of those ones. Like, I agree with you. I think Chiefs are favourite. Sam, yeah, the loss of Sam Kane and also Brad Weber, we haven't brought up as well. That's a big loss as well. But you feel like out of all the Kiwi sides, they were sort of the best place to deal with that sort of injury, have that sort of depth behind you to actually, I think them and the Blues are the two that sort of are best sort of, of the Kiwi sides in terms of just being able to put out still quality across the park. And, you know, missing out on the final last year, you know, keeping the coach as well. I think one of the few Kiwi sides that actually did.
Only two sides are keeping their coaches this year, which is the Chiefs and the Highlanders.
Which, again, is underrated. That's an underrated factor as well. Like, that sort of consistency that they've had over everybody else. So, yeah, I really like the Chiefs this year. I think they've got a great shot of sort of taking that title out.
See, I have hesitation a little bit on that because the coaches that are being brought in are really good coaches. Like, you don't need to go any further than, say, like, Vern Cotter. Clark Laidlaw at the Hurricanes, I mean, he's done really, really well with the New Zealand Sevens program. Vern Cotter for you know, coming in for the Blues, that is a huge grab. That is enormous. Which, you know, not, you don't need to write home about how well regarded he is. Of course, there's Penny over at the Crusaders, which, while a lot of Waratahs fans will go, oh, great, what an opportunity. I mean, he grew up in Canterbury. He knows Canterbury rugby, and I think he's much better set to be more successful as a coach.
100%. Definitely a lot more set up with that squad as well.
And not also to take into consideration that a certain Jamie Joseph is coming on as director of rugby down in the Highlanders. So you might even see improvement from them, although they have lost a lot of big names as well, which shouldn't be ignored. So, yeah, next game, Rebels versus the Brumbies, which, let's be honest here, the numbers here are not pretty if you are a Rebels fan. And before we even talk about the fact that we already did a podcast last week about talking about how the Rebels are going, but currently the Rebels are sitting at 6% to win at home, and the Brumbies are on 94%.
Jeez, that's
I wouldn't call that. That's way too much. I'm a Brumbies fan, and I wholeheartedly disagree. This is a really good Rebels team, but the question I ask, I want to know is, and it's more of a, you know, a summary about the season. We can't ignore the elephant in the room here. They're playing for more than just finals this year. And there's kind of been a little bit of talk that, you know, from Phil Warren company, of course, you know, you've got to sort out the financial situation, but it puts forward a much more compelling argument if they actually put together a competitive season this year and make finals. Surely there's more of a aim here than 6% for this particular match.
Definitely. And you're right. You can't ignore what's happened over the past 2 or 3 months. Like, hopefully, I'm hoping they get a good crowd at Amy Park for it. But even outside of, even if sort of the last 2 months hadn't happened, I still think 6% is wild. You look at this side, you know, a guy like Salakai Loto comes into the second row. You know, it's still an all Wallaby front row with Taniel Tupou on the bench. Like, Rob Leota didn't play an entire game last year. You know, another year of Carter Gordon. And then, you know, killers like Dungunu, Anderson, Vaihu, Kellaway, who can just beat any person in the team. Like, this is a very good Rebel side.
It is. It is. And I mean, not only that, just there's a lot of good backups options in there as well, which is like, that's previously been one of the key issues and problems that has, have plagued a lot of the expansion sides that, you know, yeah, we can put together a semi-decent, you know, a pretty decent starting side. But the moment any players have any injuries and things go down, shit goes sideways because the players underneath them are just not up to the same standard that, say, you know, that the starting side is. If you're going to have, like, to bring in the likes of some really good players in, you know, I mean, we've got Brad Wilkin, we've got Leota, and I'm very interested that Jack Maunder, the English inclusion, has also jumped in first at fly half, sorry, at scrum half, which I'm very surprised about as a new inclusion over, you know, over the other incumbents. Who's the incumbent there? The name's just escaped me here.
James Tuttle. But
that's right.
Maunder is a fascinating sort of dynamic with Carter Gordon. You know, Carter, the, you know, off the cuff 10 that will try and break game open at any time, whilst Maunder is more your box kicking territory type 9. So it'd be interesting. He's sort of openly said that, you know, he's come down to Melbourne to really sort of expand that part of his game. So listen, if he can get that sort of park flying, he's going to be an incredible player for him. Just adds quality. Like, I mean, this man played for England for a reason. Like, he's got some serious talent to him. So he's definitely a player that's kind of flown under the radar and one to watch for Friday.
I'm also particularly interested in the fact that Matt Proctor is also not in the starting line. Let's line up. We've got Filippo Dalgiuni in the centres.
Got a bit of a niggle. So he was 50-50 going into this game. So that could be it.
But that
also the point you made before about, you know, the depth of these people coming in, he's still to come back to the side. You know, Pono Farmasili, I think, is still sort of, I think he had some, he was in doubt. I'm not sure it ruled him out or just, you know, you have two incredible tight heads in front of him. You know, Darby Lancaster is another one who's, again, not in the squad. You know, he didn't go to Vancouver. He's still in Melbourne working, getting spot in. You know, Joe Pincus is another. Like, there are some serious talent and some serious sort of X factors that are waiting in the wings here, which is even a guy like Ekuasu on the bench was one of their best forwards last year. Like, you've all of a sudden got him and Tupou coming on with 20 minutes to go. Like, that's pretty, in terms of the impact players, they're two of the better ones you got.
Amen to that. Absolutely. And it's, I think it will be, I think the kind of the key thing that I'm thinking of when it comes to the Rebels this year is the pressure to actually, the actual motivation to get up and perform when the team is in the situation that it is right now, I think will be the key challenge that they face. They've got the depth to be competitive, but you know, the key things that they've struggled with is tactical decision making, executing at key moments, which is, you know, I mean, they had more losing, as many, like, I think they have equal most losing bonus points in the, you know, for any other team this year in the last season. They were always in a fight in many, many games, but then just couldn't execute to grab wins and deliver results. So I think the challenge for me is that obviously they kind of, you have to know that there's stuff happening in the background. There may not be a club here this year. This might be the last year we're talking about the Rebels. So you're obviously thinking about your own future, getting yourself up and focusing on the game. That's going to be the hardest part for them this year. That's difficult. That is hard.
Absolutely. And that's going to be the difference of whether they, you know, because this is a team on paper that could be top four, you know, but it could be anything between top four and missing finals.
I think they sneak into finals. I think they come in eighth because there would be some weeks where they have really tough games back to back, where I think they'll, you know, they'll probably struggle a little bit and, you know, knocking them down a little bit would be difficult. Contrast that with the Brumbies. Yes, it's...
I like the Brumbies this year. I really do.
Yeah. The problem I have with them right now is that I feel like the squad's good. They've only, like, they said goodbye to a couple of folks, but generally speaking, this is a really settled team. Only three new inclusions, which was very interesting to me. A lot of guys just kind of making their way. You know, I think they brought a guy across from Waikato, Austin Anderson. They have Harrison Goddard in as well. Plus, I think Lachlan Shaw is another talent in the extended squad. But essentially, it's the same squad as last year. And the key challenge that they had last year was that they came up again. They were basically, they couldn't find that fifth gear to put a side away. They could beat, they could beat a Hurricanes team. They could beat a Blues side. They could knock off 70-80% of the team of the competition, but they couldn't beat, they couldn't find a way to beat the likes of your Chiefs and your Crusaders, which basically are the pace setters for the whole competition. They're a peg below until that point. Do they have it in them this year? I don't know. They need to come. Like, I do know that they have, they don't have Laurie Fisher, which is a huge loss in the coaching staff, but they do have a lot of new other blood as well. And a good squad, a very settled squad, probably the most settled in the whole comp.
Jeez, how's it going to be the Waratahs fans going to be off to about the Brumbies here? I generally think this Brumbies team can make a final and go on to win it. That's my bold prediction. Like, there is so much talent that's still coming through. Like, you look at the team got named today. You know, still no Darcy Swain, Blake Schopp to sort of start as well. You know, a guy like Charlie Cale won't sort of be on the radar for a lot of people, but anyone that watched the Brumbies trials knows just how sort of electric he can be at number eight. Mm-hmm. Like, he's a guy that just breaks tackles for fun. You then add Luke Reimer with sort of a better opportunity to start at seven, and you've got genuine, like, that back three of, you know, Valentini, who will constantly, like, bend the defensive line, Reimer, the stealer, the poacher, and Cale, the man that can jump and also break any tackle you want. It's a pretty good back row trio. You then add Lelisio in, who's, you know, looked amazing in Toulon and might have found another gear. Mate, this team's going to be great. I think you sort of talk about finding that next gear. I think you look at the other teams and how many, as you said, this is a very settled Brumby squad. I think that sort of takes them up to the level of your Blues, your Chiefs, your Crusaders as well, because that continuity is just going to be key, especially in Bernie's second year as well.
Mm. Yeah, that is true. But I mean, yeah, I'm still not totally convinced yet. I'm very curious to see what the new coaching staff can bring to the table. And, you know, I'm very interested to see what Moen and all that can do. There was a lot of talent they discovered last year. I really was impressed with Jerome Brown, and it is very interesting to me that he is on the bench, which says a lot about how Cale and Reimer must be going in terms of their performances. And I just love the fact that Ollie Satford is in the centres with Lenny Kitau. I was so impressed with him last year, just how devastating a runner he is. He combined extremely well with Kitau. Even Tua as well. Yeah. I was very impressed with the centre options that have been found by the Brumbies. Really turned their attacking backline into more of a sledgehammer type style attack, which was very surprising.
And then, like, a guy like Corey Toole on the wing, Tom Wright at fullback, like, this is a dangerous backline. Like, if you then get a forward pack still full of Wallabies, like a second row group that's, you know, Nick Frost, Tom Hooper, Caden Neville, Darcy Swain. That's pretty elite. Hooker group, which indeed is Noss Lonigan, Connell McInerney, Billy Pollard. Three Wallabies in there. You know, still Alan Alatoa to come back as well, who we haven't mentioned. Like, he'll be back for sort of round 10, round 11, just when they need him for finals. Like, this is a team I think has all the tools to go all the way. Simple as that.
Oh, amen. Jump over to the West. Force will kick off against the Hurricanes. Super Rugby tipping, again, harsh. Very harsh. Force are coming in at 7% to win this match against the Hurricanes, 93%. Slightly, I mean, do we want them to remind the Kiwi fans what happened last time the Hurricanes went to Perth? They lost, I believe. And not only that, they're only one team, and it managed to beat the Force in Perth last year, and that was the Chiefs, which goes to show how tough a team they are to knock off at home. We'll obviously touch on the Crusaders a little bit. Force look interesting, don't they? Lots and lots and lots of big signings. Not as many as the previous year. I think the previous year, Cronin's first year, they brought in 27 new players. So cohesion was always going to be an issue. But this year it looks a lot more settled. I mean, you've got Ben Donaldson in there. You've got Nick White in there. There's also, of course, Max Bury, who I think had a very good year last year and has actually emerged as quite a positive in terms of the halves. There's Harry Potter as well, who is really, really good. And also I want to highlight, of course, I'm really impressed with some of the Force's selections in the front row. Atu Moli from the Chiefs is a great grab.
Great.
To expand their depth out, especially with Tom Robinson away on sabbatical. Harry Hooper, shame that he's out with injury because he's also a really, really good option as well. And then, of course, in the loose forwards, I mean, Will Harris has been amazing in the trials. Just such a good pilferer and stealer of the ball. 7% must be off, mate. I expect a much closer game than that.
This is the game. Like, if again, I have to put this legal disclaimer in. I don't, but I basically do. If I could bet the 10.5 around the Force, that's a joke. Like, this is a team which just plays unbelievably in Perth, as you said. You know, for a hurricane team to open up here, basically what, an 8-hour travel or something like that from New Zealand to Perth.
Like, more than that.
You're doing proper international travel with that. Like, this is a Force team that's only got better from last year, as you said. Like, Isaac Rudd is the big one. If he's out, that's a problem. He pulled up with a fire shoot training, so he's 50-50.
Oh, what? Is this this afternoon news? I knew he was named in the squad earlier today.
Yeah, got named in the squad and then it's just picked up a little sort of knock, so that's a concern.
Of course he bloody well has. That boy's in my fantasy team. God dang it. Like I feel like half of my squad in the fantasy, we 3/4 of my squad is actually injured, and I don't know what I'm going to do about it.
Mine's great, mate. I'm out to defend the crown.
Yeah, I know. Far out. I made semis last year. It was poor, like semis last year, and I was really hoping that I could get through with Karevi Claws, but sadly, it was not to be. So I'm hoping taking Umbridge does much better as a lucky name.
But getting back onto it, because no one cares about the fantasy game. unless we're playing, then we're putting
exactly
on the line. Something will be on the line for that game, so keep in touch. Second row is a concern, if with Jeremy Williams also dealing with a concussion. Outside of that, this team has got so much talent. You know, Marley Pierce is a loose end to watch. Tom Horton getting a full season out of him. I thought he was one of their better players last year. Their best was Sam Spink in the centres.
He's great.
He's so good. Like, that combo with Hamish Stewart is unreal.
Oh, he's just good.
You're adding Nick White, Ben Donaldson, even Tom Franklin adds some good sort of experience as well. Like, this is a good side. This is a side that can seriously cause an upset this week.
Can they make finals? Is my question.
Absolutely. I think they 100%. When you consider they missed by 1 or 2 points last year, competition points, the team's got better since. Why not? Like, if all you have to do, the key for them is getting those wins away from home. One thing last year that sort of not many people have sort of picked up on was just how hard their draw was, in the sense of there were multiple trips to New Zealand. There were multiple times where they didn't get that actual time to settle in at home or settle in Australia. Like, they were constantly on the move. And this draw is a lot better sort of position for him to actually make base and find a little bit of consistency in that regard. So that's an underrated factor in their favour. So they're definitely fighting for position here in the finals.
I'd say this game is probably a 50-50 a little bit, maybe even like a 55-45 in favour of the Force personally. Because
probably go the other way, to be honest. But yeah.
Oh, so you'd go Canes a bit more in favour?
Say Kane's 55, Force 45, but again, not a 90 plus the same.
That's ridiculous. Well, the Canes, as a quick touch on them, they have lost, not a lot of players, and they've got a new coach, again, as mentioned, Clark Laidlaw. But when you lose Owen Franks, Dane Coles, Arnie Savia, Julian Savia, that's a lot of good quality talent and rugby IP that is going out the door. They do get Brad Shields in, who is a kind of former England international, but also eligible. James Tucker from the Blues is a great pickup for them as well. In addition to a former Force player as well in Ben Grant, who is also going to be, who's also there as well. It's going to be interesting. Going to be interesting to observe. There is obviously still a lot of great quality All Blacks. I think there's like a good 6 or 7 or 8 All Blacks in that Hurricane squad. Tyrell Lomax is the one that stands out. And also, I think the guy who's probably one of the most dangerous, underrated players in the whole comp, Amua, the hooker. He's good. And he's got no Dane Coles behind to hold him back now. He'll be starting. Lethal. Dangerous, dangerous player. So excited to see him get out and actually have a full stint in this season with no Dane Coles, impeding him getting full game time. So very good, good side.
Can I just add a player in the similar mold of that? Mm-hmm. Peter Lackey. Gone through the under-20 system in 22. He's a beast. This could be a breakout year for him. Like, now that Artie's off to Japan, he's so good.
Yeah. Also, Ray Arce as well in the back three. I think he got injured quite a few times last year. He's really good. I was really impressed every time I saw him play. And I think he's all clear and he's good to go again. He should have been pushing All Black selection if he wasn't getting injured so much. So, it is what it is. Next game, Blues versus the Drua, playing out at Eden Park. Again, we've got another 90%. These tips are fantastic. I love them. They're just so all over the place.
Just Blues, they're just straight for content. That's it.
That's right. It's Blues 93% to win this game. Drua 7. This is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. I am sorry, but the Drua, I am actually, here's my hot tip. Drua make top 4 this year.
Yeah, I saw that. That's what I was when I saw that. I was, and you're in a Drua singlet right now.
Yes.
How much did the Drua pay to say that? Real talk. No. This is the same menu. This is the same menu. How much?
They paid in Fiji Bitter, Fiji Gold, and trips away to Tokariki Island. So that's those are my payments. I'm bought and paid for. No, I genuinely believe that this Drua side is really good. They've got 20 internationals who have continued on and who played at the World Cup the previous year. Their forward pack has advanced in leaps and bounds from last year, from last season. They've got they're incredibly good on the counter-attack, dangerous weapons all around the park. Nobody is talking about them. They made finals last year, after coming second last the year before. History has told us that we underestimate the Drua every single time. I mean, they won the bloody NRC in their second year. They made finals both consecutive years. This, I think, is a dangerous side. A really, really, really dangerous side. And to be at 93% to 7 is ridiculous. Even though I'd still pick the Blues to win this game, but not by that much.
Nah, I would still pick the Blues, but yeah, even someone like Kurovola as well, scrum half, didn't play the entire game last year and kicked the living shit out of us in the World Cup.
Yes!
They haven't brought that many players in, but Armstrong Ravalo is a young 10, has just been given a shot to start. That's a great kind of, what an opportunity for him just to kind of make that his own and really kind of turn that into a potential Fijian debut this year. The guy, mm-hmm. guy I'm looking for, again, speaking of fantasy teams, he's in mine, Polymomo, the sort of winger from Montembun. If listen, watch his highlights from the Brumbies game, you'll understand why I'm so high on him. He's a freak. Like, these Fijians just find a way to just develop these wingers and just find these players from out of nowhere. He's great. Him and Taniela Rakuru, it sort of made his debut this time last year, scored the winning try against Mine Pacifica. Both those guys is great, but Momo's my man. Even weird fact as well. So, started out playing the wing for Montembun. I am so pronouncing that wrong, but again, screw it, I don't care. played the entire season last year as number 8 back rower.
And as you do.
Yeah, as you do because you're Fijian. And he's now back to starting the wings and just burning people. It's just like, this man's amazing.
Great player. And I this is a good team. This is a really, really, really good team. Like, I genuinely see them being top four. I genuinely do come into season. Whether they make semis, I actually have thrown a demand down to Christy Doran, which he ignored, that I said, let's bet some Carver on Drew making semis. Bet the Carver on Drew making semis. Blues, I will make a small note on them, that PJ, I think they have lost, you know, a lot of people. Tucker, as mentioned earlier, Alex Hodgman, who's gone off to the Reds. Roger. Yeah,
I love Lala as well.
Yeah, he's gone off to the Warriors. Bowden Barrett, just cash, he's gone as well. Though some people think that might not necessarily be a bad thing for the Blues, but I don't necessarily agree about that. But they have really strengthened their stocks in front row, which I think is very valuable, with PJ Schleck and Angus Tahavau, which will be, I think, really good inclusions in that squad. It's just a shame that they've lost a lot of players to injury as well. I mean, Patrick Tuipulotu, the captain, out. Yeah. Already, that's a big loss.
Huge, huge loss.
And they didn't have a lot of depth in the front row, in the locks in the second row anyway to begin with. Lots of new guys in there. They had to do some recruitment. So there will be challenges. I think the Blues will drop down a peg or two this year, but it won't be for long when you have Rico Ioane and you have, you know, Caleb Clark and Mark Talia and Zane Sullivan in the back three and Vern Cotter is coach. It may be a year of transition. They also have a very tough draw, probably one of the toughest draws of any of the New Zealand sides. Lots of travel. So lots to process there.
So just one point on that. Still so much talent. One guy I want to mention, Stephen Parapetta. He was amazing last year. Now gets a chance to start 10 the complete season. And also, a guy like Ta'ava is just like a guy who was injured for 12 months and then comes back and go, oh, yeah, you're actually like really good at rugby. You're actually like a tank with legs. So,
yes.
Yeah, they can 100% be matching it for top four, but could find themselves struggling if they don't sort of pin wins together.
I'm calling fifth on them. I reckon they'll fall slightly under at the end of the regular season. Whether they make semis or no, that's a different discussion. I think regular season will see them in fifth. Still pretty good. They'll come good. And when you have a coach like Cotter, that's, you know, he's class. He's a really good coach. Penultimate game, we'll brush over this one quickly. Highlanders versus Moana Pacifica. This is the one I actually think I do agree with. 95% to the Highlanders, 5% to Moana Pacifica, in terms of who thinks is going to win who. It's playing in South Island. I feel like the key question is, do we actually think the Highlanders are going to improve this year? Because they've lost a lot of talent. The coach still remains Clark. Thank you very much. You know, they've lost, you know, as mentioned earlier, PJ Schleck has left. They've lost the likes of you know, Aaron Smith, no slouch at all. Freddie Burns, Marty Banks as well. Thomas Umanga Jensen, who's injured, unfortunately. But they do have some talent coming in. I think the first name that comes to mind is Reece Patchell from Scarlets, who's a very experienced head that they probably need out in the back line. But there's a lot of talent from Otago that is also coming in. You still have great players like Ethan De Groot and Jermaine Ainsley in the front row who, they're literally all blacks, so that says it all.
Just casually.
And probably, you know, up there is some of the strongest all blacks out there. But do we see this side going back into finals? Even with the elephant in the room, which is Jamie Joseph now also having a significant role in coaching that side.
You know what? No, I don't actually. I don't see him making finals. And like, there is talent in that back line as well. Taniela Talia was a name that got tipped to me by a Super Rugby captain as, you know, one of the sort of players to watch this year. Jimmy the Jet, also from Moana Pacifica. I know I'm too bad at pronouncing names. I'm not giving that a game. That's Tavana Vananawa, I believe. Probably not how you pronounce it, but still. He's a beast. Mm-hmm. He'll add class, but you don't replace guys like Smith, like Frizzell, like even, you know, Freddie Burns and Marty Banks, even though sort of Banks on the older side, like Josh Dixon, real easy. Like, there is a lot of turnover in that squad, and is that a squad that sort of, let's face it, only just made it to finals last year. Like they had to sort of.
They didn't make finals last year.
Missed out last. Of course, the Reds. Reds. Yeah, that's on me. The Reds. They're on the same points. The Reds have missed out.
Yeah.
So you kind of you look at the teams behind them and you go, well, they finished ninth and they have the Force and Rebels behind them, and the only game behind them. Both those teams have gotten a lot better than the Highlanders have. Like they seem to have gone in different directions. So you kind of go, all right, what four teams, looking at squads, you go, what four teams do the Highlanders beat to make finals? I just don't see it.
Me neither. But at least they haven't got as much turnover as Marana Pacifica. This is a whole new team. Where do we even begin? Talu Umanga, new coach. I have questions about him coming in. I mean, he hasn't exactly – I mean, let's not dispute this. Unbelievable player. All Black legend. But his success, his time as a coach has not been successful. At Toulon, at the Blues, really anywhere at the moment. He has had more success as an assistant coach, I'll give him that. But as head coach, not so much. And I'm looking at some of the selections here. I think it's like 29 players left Moana last year, and they've brought in like 19, 20. It's basically a whole new squad. And there's guys coming in from like, a lot of Shoot Shield talent, a lot of NPC talent, a couple of players. I mean, you've got Julian Sarvia, who's the key standout as a new player. Ola Tuolangi from the Waratahs as well has gone in there. James Lay, who's a very strong Samoan prop as well, has also made the journey across from the Blues. But yeah, they're finishing last, aren't they?
It's coming up your battle. First, can I just say Julian Sarvia starting at 12 this week? That intrigues me.
What?
That intrigues me. Yeah.
Really? Okay. Caution of the wind.
They've got something up their sleeve here. But yeah, no, this team's going to struggle. This team is.
Yeah.
Even when you look at some of the sort of players, with two or three key injuries and like they're in huge trouble. Like they've got still like Anari and Havili in the halves. They're solid. Danny Tuala is a great player. Armando
Billy Liliafano.
Yeah, Matunga and Falangi and the sort of back row, great players. But yeah, it's just this team is going to need some big wins and some sort of going to have to find some stars from somewhere to really sort of compete.
And that's even before you get to like the cohesion. Like this team is going to have to work so hard on their team cohesion to even get like anywhere near to playing good, and then they have to like find ways to actually ask questions of other teams. It's a bridge too far, in my opinion, and I'm really it's sad to see that. I hope they get more wins than last year. That's all I say. If you can beat one, I consider that success. If you're a Moana fan, I'm really sorry. It's not a good look. Let's move on to the last fixture of the year. You'll be livid about this one. As a final point. Reds versus Waratahs.
Oh,
Reds are coming in at 86% to the Waratahs 14% for this game. Are we really basing this much on trials?
Let me remind people what happened in 2020. The Reds came out, looked like a better side than the trial. The Waratahs got the win. Waratahs didn't win a game for the entire year. 20 or 21?
20.
21.
20.
That was 21. Was, 21.
No, 21, then yeah. Coleman that's came, when Rob Penny got, yeah.
Yeah, and then Coleman came in 22 and 23.
Yeah.
Since when did trials matter this much? I get it. Yeah. The Reds looked quick. The Reds look fast. But if you don't think that this Waratahs team is going to come out with something in plan, like these were two teams playing each other in a trial match who were playing 2 weeks afterwards. Don't think they were saving something in the back pocket? Like, for them to think this is 85%, this is essentially 85% saying this is going to be a blowout. There's not going to be a blowout. There's too much talent in that Waratahs team. You know, look like a guy like Angus Bell, another guy where you kind of, injured for 9 months, comes back and you go, oh, shit, you're actually really good at rugby. Miles and Modisio at second row is a huge human being. Massive.
Yeah, he's great.
In a guy that loves the dirty work, loves the set piece, coming from Clermont. Thirdly, Warner will tackle everything that moves. Joe Walters at fullback, I'm not sure about, but still got Max Johnson to come off the bench. Like, there's talent. There's talent across this park, across this squad.
Do we do the Tars make finals this year? Yeah. And does DC remain?
Also, yes. Like, yes. This is a tough draw for the first on paper for the first.
Yeah, quarter. They have a hard draw. They have a hard draw playing the Crusaders twice. In there this way. As well.
Crusade again, but Crusaders away from Christchurch, they've got a pretty good record. The Waratahs. You look at this Reds game; it's probably a 50-50 game in my book. You then the Highlanders at home; I reckon they win that. The Blues, yeah, the Blues. That's a tough game. And then people talking about the first sort of month is a hard one. Round five's in Fiji.
Yeah,
like that's a tough game. And like if you can get two out of five. You then go into sort of Rebels, Brumby. Yep. Oh, God. You keep scrolling down. You go, Jesus Christ, this is actually horrific. Like, Brumby's twice.
It's a terrible, what a shocking draw.
Perth. Jeez, I didn't realize how bad it was, to be honest. Like, I knew it was bad.
It's really bad.
But that's, jeez. Like, they still make finals. Like, there's too much.
I don't know. I don't know if they make finals with a draw that bad. I really don't.
There's so many Wallabies in that side. Like,
yes, I think that the depth is improved. So they have, I mean, they've lost a lot of players, but I really like how they've recruited this in the off season. I just worry they're still coming in a bit undercooked. I know that DC would have learnt from the mistakes of 2023. I know that he would have had something in the tank, but I mean, those trials were the very first games that New South Wales played, aside from one in-house New South Wales Pacifica match late last year. Whereas I know that the Force have been on tour, the Brumbies have been on tour, and the Rebels have been on tour, and the Reds have been on tour playing games. So I am slightly worried that the Waratahs might be coming in undercooked again. So we'll see how we go. But I see them. I have them sitting on that eighth or ninth precipice, kind of similar with the Rebels. I think they're going to drop down a little bit, but I am excited about this Reds side. They look a lot more dynamic. They're asking a lot more questions in attack already with Les Kiss. Devastated Harry McLaughlin Phillips isn't starting, but I do like Tom Liner going in there. Alex Hodgman, how good. I like him. I really, really like him. He's a very good option. Really, really good. And, you know, aside from that, it's a good side. Hunter Paisami looked really, really good during the trials. I'm really glad to see Josh Fluke as his running mate in the centres. Also great. I think Bataille also showed a lot of potential as well. Still have no idea why Vunivalu is in there, but aside from that, very few complaints.
It's a very strong squad. And, you know, you look across that board, a guy that's probably flying under the radar as well is Matt Greeley. Like, you know, as beat out the guy like Jock Campbell to start on the wing, which is, again, no easy feat. If he has a breakout year, just watch out. He's great. You look here and there is dead set Wallaby quality or even at a minimum, Australia A quality in every single position. Even coming off the bench, you have a guy like Penny Rabbi starting for Fiji. You know, Kalei Thomas could start at nine for a lot of other clubs. Jock Campbell's a Wallaby combined with debutants like Cormac Daly, who I think was one of the better players in Shoot Shield last year. John Bryant was someone who really stood out in the 20s campaign last year. Like, and Harry McLaughlin Phillips, who I think is, you know, one of the best. It's neck and neck between him and Jack Bowen for the most promising halves in Australian rugby.
Yeah, I'm really sad the Lutus isn't in there in the starting squad.
Just a bit of a knock. He's probably about a couple of weeks away, but I know he'll be amazing.
He will be. And I see Reds going up this year. I reckon they'll finish in like sixth. I reckon they'll kind of be in that higher end and maybe even leapfrog a side like the Hurricanes. I could see that happening. There's a lot to like and just more questions being asked. It's clear that the Reds have had that level of physicality that they can compete physically, but just predictable game plan, or any sort of stuff like that in the past. I really, really like the look of this side that is asking a lot more questions. I'm seeing that Kiss influence, already, and that's really promising to see. So I really hope they nail it. And on that note, the season preview is done, complete with Super Rugby tipping. your newest best friend to scoff at over your morning coffee on Wednesday.
The sort of old man yells at clouds type equivalent for us Super Rugby fans.
Absolutely. Get your tips in there, Aussie fans. We need to upset the apple cart. I just want to see Moana Pacifica beating the Crusaders with like a margin of 99% to 1. That would just make my life. So get in there and show your support.
It's hard to ask. Come on.
No, exactly. Also, we are still accepting applicants for the Clubhouse chat discussion, which will, as mentioned, you can shoot us an email. We mentioned it earlier on the from the top at the droppedkickoff@gmail.com. So be sure if you want to talk rugby with Josh Murphy and myself, we will we always love chatting rugby with you. Hopefully, we will be planning another episode next week. Fortunately, now that the season has started, we have no more preseason articles to write. Nathan will be a typing machine, but you know, hopefully, we'll be able to kind of start providing slightly more regular updated content. We've got a couple of episodes coming in the pipeline for you, but here we are, 2024. Yeah.
And here we are. We've got a guest lined up for the next episode, potentially.
Spoiler. A guest? Yes, we have a guest. Spoiler alert. Yeah, I know. It's not Bill Beaumont, nor is it a former Wallaby Matt Tamua as a co-host.
Friend of the pod. He's a friend of the pod.
He's a good friend of the pod. We like him. He's a very good friend of the pod. He's top tier in our books.
That's all that matters.
We've got another week to get back on the horse and take that horse to the water. And you can ask that horse, you can say, hey, horsey, do you want to have a drink or do you want to swim? Yeah, and it's up to that horse to then realise what he wants to do in his life. So we're looking forward to, like I say, getting back on that horse.
And are you looking forward to getting back on the horse 6 months since we last saw you?
I don't like horses. I can't ride.
Give myself an uppercut.